First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
We are Emily and Katie. Turn on in and turn us up to 80. We are fumbling through the fun, talking about life, getting good stuff done. Thanks to all the listeners, we're the struggling sisters.
All right, so let's get this mamma jamma started. Something interesting that's happened is that for 4 years, I've been using the same recording software, and I don't know what happened, but now it doesn't record. Like, this is how much I know about sound. So if you want to start a podcast, just know, dear listener, you could, like a monkey could do it. I don't even understand, but the squiggly lines that indicate that it's recording, they don't happen anymore on that software for me. So I've had to like try to figure out what to do.
Is it actually recording though? Have you missed any recordings?
Like, oh no, interviews? It's just like when I talk by myself, I use a different software. Like when I record ads and the beginning and the end. And now there's only like a flat line, which in nursing means you're dead. And it sounds like in recording it also does, because nothing's happening. So I recorded a lot of ads to myself and nobody ever will hear them because it wasn't recording. Anyway, I can't figure it out. And so it's like I'm starting over. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Let's catch up.
Okay. So I was wanting to know what to call this little segment where we catch up.
Okay. I love naming segments.
I know. But so this is my go-to. Go to a thesaurus, because we're sisters. Look up an S word that means catch up.
Okay.
There's nothing good.
Oh no.
There's not a good end to this story.
Oh, so you have nothing. What about catch up?
That's stupid. Was that the end of it? Just catch up?
It was the beginning of a thought bubble.
Oh, okay.
It was a catch up, dot, 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 blank, flat line,
yep. Shoot. What about, well, all I could think of was new and noteworthy, even though that's what they call podcasts.
Right.
I was on that one time when I was new and or noteworthy. One of the two happened, and then it stopped happening because I'm not on it anymore. Okay, so new and noteworthy.
Well, I have a follow-up from a past episode.
Okay, go for it.
Because Rebecca is aggressively against me.
Can you imagine? Stepping,
what had happened?
I wanted to ask you the same thing. Are you guys having like a Twitter war like I hear the young people have?
Not that I know of, and I don't know if she knows how to work the Twitter. Zing. Zinger. Just kidding. I don't know how to work it. But anyway, on your problem solved episode, one of the problems that kept coming up was that kids at big parties and stuff, celebrations, it's a lot.
Are a problem.
They're a problem. So what do you do to kind of like make sure everyone's having fun, but also make sure things are being supervised, not
other than
out of control?
Benadryl.
Oh, Emily.
What?
One person wrote in after hearing the episode and said that her family or her community group, they do a sign up sheet. Like, so they sign up, I'm going to bring broccoli casserole. I'm going to watch the kids this time.
Okay.
And so one person sits out. So it's not the same person every time.
That's good. Cause I think her name was Jen.
Oh, good recall. I mean,
anyway, so Jen, do a sign up.
Do a sign up.
I got to say, I used to do that when we lived in Arizona with our community group, and I hated it. I don't want to come to it because you hear all the grownups in another room living their best life, and I'm in there. What is my life?
Your life is kids, but just for a week, and then you get to go back in next time.
I know. I just got to say, I don't like that. I think it's a good solution, but me, I'm entirely too concerned about me to do that.
Okay.
Anyway. No, but actually, now that I don't have little kids, it's not the end of the world to do it for a little bit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Get to know the people.
Yeah.
Get in there and shake it up a little bit. I went to a party last night, a Christmas party, and
I
walked in.
Is that what we're going to talk about later?
Yes.
Have you dyed your hair? It looks purple in this light.
Thank you. I've dyed it brown. And I actually really like it. So I appreciate that. So anyway, at a Christmas party, walked into like the kids' room and was like, what's up, everybody? Or I said something and my six-year-old said, it's like this every night.
Like, she greets me all the dang time.
I know. I was being cool and funny.
That's hysterical. I love it. Good. Okay, so mine. Did you already say yours?
Just, we're catching up. It's casual conversation.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, you can pop in if
I'm
you
on
want.
A schedule. I'd like to do the pop-in. Something new that happened at work is that there was a cat, and I don't like cats. You know that. I'm allergic to them. One time I very accidentally killed a litter of cats.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
No, but you put them outside.
They were loud. And anyway, I tried to resuscitate them with milk and a straw. I did everything I could. I wish no harm upon a cat. Anyway, so there's this cat that has been hanging out around our premises at work, and it straight up trying to run into the house. It's the most interesting thing I've ever seen. It must be somebody's house cat to
like
want to run
in the front door.
Yeah, you have to make sure the cat does not bolt inside. Very okay. Interesting. Well, it just stands outside and just like is cold and hungry, and I can see it from my nursing station, and I just can't handle that.
Okay.
So I chose, my boss is always telling me to use my judgment, best judgment. So my best judgment was I asked Eric if I could bring the cat home, and he said, thank you so much for asking. No.
Okay. Right.
So anyway, I went and got 3 pounds of cat food for $1.89. So it's like the high quality stuff. I even think it's like salmon. Anyway. And I got a teal collar for it.
Perfect.
So now it's an employee.
Oh, no.
And now it's our outside therapy cat.
Oh, it's outside still? It's not coming inside?
Well, yeah, because people have allergies to cats.
Right.
But the girls love it. Aww. And they pet it, and they love it. And I don't love it, but I love that they love it, and I love that it's not hungry.
That's great. Is there like an outside sitting area everyone can hang out with the cat?
Yes. And the cat just pops up on. The only time the cat hisses is when you try to take the blanket away from it.
Oh, so are you going to name it?
Okay. So that's been a topic of conversation. I asked, may I name it Phoebe? My husband never let me name anything Phoebe. So I named a blender Phoebe. Can I name this alive thing Phoebe?
Okay.
They said that's fine. But then I thought, what about if we named her Countess Meriwether? That feels good.
It does feel good, but you'd have to get her a cape of some kind.
And a little tiara. Anyway, so I think we're going to go with Phoebe, and I'm going to go to get her a little teal thing with her name on it to go on the teal collar. And then I slowly give it to somebody and have them put it on because there's cameras everywhere. So I don't want everyone to know that it's me. So I'm making other people put it on.
I like it.
Yeah. Because the clients aren't going to get in trouble. Welcome, Phoebe. So that's what I'm doing.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
How is it going with your accent work? You said watercoloring wasn't working, so you wanted to work on an accent.
I have not been working on my accent. I am sorry. Yeah, I'll write myself a note.
Okay.
To remember to have a hobby.
We're talking about finishing well, and I surely just finished my semester well with 2 AA's.
Are you kidding me?
1 set of AA's, yes.
How many A's are in this equation? That was
I'm
a
so
fast.
Excited.
Are they 6 weeks long?
6 weeks.
How was it to have 2 classes and 2 jobs
really
and 2 kids?
Stressful. 2 of everything, 2 dogs. I'm going to get another husband.
Yeah. Yes. Is that what we're going to talk
really
about later
stressful.
On Patreon?
No. Yes.
Well, good. Good for you.
How about you? Are you done with your semester yet?
No, I'm on week two of a class. And just last night, I was supposed to have something due and sure enough didn't. So I'm going to do it as soon as we're done. It's just going to be late. I've never had anything late before. It's fine.
You never know. Just turn it in. See what happens.
Yeah, I think it'll be just like not as well received, but still received.
Okay.
So scientists have discovered that the most important period of a human's life regarding nutrition is from conception until age 2. So like the first 1,000 days. Isn't that interesting? Most baby food pouches, though, at the grocery store, they're very processed. They're full of a lot of sugar. And so if you have the option, we should do the very best we can to give the highest level of nutrition possible to our kids. I only say that because I didn't even know my daughter till after she was 2. So we don't all have that option. Unfortunately, most of us don't have time to cook every meal from scratch, and so we're always looking for convenient ways to make life a little simpler and have some shortcuts, give us a little time back without sacrificing quality, right? I want to tell you about a baby food brand that's doing exactly that. It's a new brand called Yumi, Y-U-M-I. It gives fresh, really nutrient-dense superfoods for your baby made with clean ingredients, and it's shipped right to your doorstep every week. They make purees for babies, but they also make snacks and finger foods for toddlers and older kiddos. They have nutritionists that curate the meals based on the upcoming milestones of the children to make sure they have what they need for healthy brain and physical development. The cool thing is the menu changes every week, so your child is exposed to a wide variety of textures and flavors. They have more than 70 different flavors, and you can check out the menu at helloyumi.com. So the box will be made based on your child's age and development, and you can customize the jars based on what your kid usually likes to eat. Yumi was very kind, and they sent a box to my door. Unfortunately, my children will not eat baby food at this time. So I actually walked it down to my neighbor who has a baby, an adorable little baby. And because this baby is refusing to talk yet, because it's actually not something she's supposed to be doing yet, I could not get her response of it, but the mother said that her baby loved it. She felt like it was convenient and loved the whole situation. So give it a shot if you are in the market for a super high-quality baby food. The prices start at just $35 a week. So head to helloyumi.com and enter promo code MSW for $60 off your first month of Yumi. So again, that's helloyumi.com. And you spell that Y-U-M-I. And the promo code is MSW, and you'll get $60 off your first month. Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about. Number 2. I heard this would you rather, and it just cracked me up. So I've started to make a list on my phone of the super good ones. Okay. I'm sorry. It's just so funny to think about it. Would you rather start every conversation with, hey, idiot? Or end every sentence with, just kidding.
Just kidding. Because it would be at the end and maybe I could say it really quietly as I'm turning around. Like it's a nervous tick, but I've got to stop it.
Or you just keep talking with your hand over your mouth. But imagine a job interview. Imagine a wedding proposal. Imagine meeting a new neighbor. Hey, idiot. Welcome to the neighborhood. We're so glad to have you here. Just kidding.
Definitely more laughter would come with just kidding. More laughter and confusion, but hey, idiot is no way to start a conversation. How about you?
So what? You're saying just kidding?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you're...
Just kidding. So you hardly heard it.
No, you're super mad at your kids for running into the street. Tell me how that would go. I'd like you to say it.
You almost killed yourself. Just kidding.
You just couldn't. You could not parent. I mean, I think, hey, idiot, it's not nice.
You like it better.
But it establishes a certain fun factor.
That's way more your style.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I would start everything with, hey, idiot.
That's funny.
I would love to hear some listener emails about how they are finishing this year well.
Okay. Well, one of my very favorite ones was long and unique and intricate, but it's more of a problem. So we have to save that for problem solved finishing well, because I definitely don't want to step on anyone's toes.
Y'all are going to have to fight it out. Like, we'll get a big boxing ring.
Look, I don't have to record with Rebecca. If she wants to be hostile, then this can go on as long as she wants it to. Just kidding. I really like her.
Hey, idiot.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Hey, idiot. Just kidding. So this is from Varieties and Vanities, or it could be Varieties and Vanities because it's spelt very unique. I quit my direct selling business a few years ago. It was never good for me, but my self-worth was too tied up in it. So it was
okay,
bad.
I have a question. Have you seen an experience where direct selling companies are good for people? I mean, I guess there are some.
I avoid it like the plague, so I've not seen how it's turned out well for people.
I think some people make so much money. I think, unfortunately, most people do not.
Yeah, but it really, it can be appealing. They can almost get you sometimes.
I know, but the idea of, like she said, her identity. I mean, but you can get that tied up in anything. I tie
That's
my
true.
Identity to a new thing every week.
That's true.
That's my hobby. I don't need no accents. I don't even know who
fun.
I am.
Oh, you try on new outfits every day. So she kept it for almost 4 years, but she said she should have quit probably after the first year. But I did get to wear lots of cute jewelry in the meantime, though. So
okay, that's nice.
So there's a positive. But anyway, that's good. She put that down.
It's hard. It's hard to know when to let go of something.
Definitely.
Or when you just got to push a little bit longer.
Yeah, and you can be getting advice from all kinds of people. And a lot of times it's like, go, girl, who cares?
You can do
sometimes
this.
Sometimes it's like, hang in there.
Plan better.
Yeah.
Get up a little bit earlier.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. So I hate that stuff.
It's hard. You know that I try to stop this podcast every month.
Right.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard to know. Then you think, you know which person is going to tell you what thing. You're always like, yeah, just quit. I think it's great. I mean, but then Tina's always like, you can't quit.
So it's pretty easy to tell who you're going to get the advice from in which way. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard. But way to go. Veritas. Verities. Variety.
Verities.
Verite.
So Karen Jarrow Minnick quit my job to stay home and homeschool two kids. And she loves that. She finished well.
By just quitting her job.
Quitting her job, and she's happy with it.
That's good. That can be such a rough transition. Wow.
I can't imagine. I definitely could not do it.
You've stayed home full time, though.
Yeah, but I didn't homeschool. I mean, I was with children, but I wasn't trying to teach them anything. That's frightening. So Oak Hills Home says that she's at the end of this year, she's realizing that her responses to her children have gotten so much better. It's taken about 3 years to really work on it. But I'm so grateful that God has not let me alone in this season of parenting.
That's so good. It's so good to remember where we've come from. I know that when Lane was little, and Porter, well, was also 4 years littler, I yelled a lot. I was mad. I was always mad. And now I feel like I know when I'm getting frustrated and I can do a different thing, but I don't yell anymore. I don't know. It's just nice to look back and go, wow, that's really something.
Yeah. And it's hard. We don't know what we're doing. We've had to parent before.
We haven't.
That's a good thing that they can't remember the first 2 years or so.
It is a good thing. It's a very good thing. We love hearing from y'all, so send us your emails. I don't even really care what the topic is. Do you have an opinion about that?
You're open.
We just want to hear from you. I'm breezy. You know
breezy.
Me. Always been remarkably flexible. Yeah, so just email us and tell us how you're struggling well in any old-fashioned or newfangled way. Hello@momstrugglingwell.com. Okay, I want to tell you, and I've already told you, but there is no problem with me telling you again about my favorite bra, which is called Third Love. Third Love does bras differently. They have half sizes. They make sure that every bra fits you just exactly right. And I got to tell you, I didn't believe you could find a perfect fit from an app, but they sure enough found me. a bra that fits me perfect. They have over 80 bra sizes, and so your perfect fit is waiting for you too. And they're so confident in their bras, you get 60 days to wash it, wear it, try it out, and if you don't love it, send it back for free, and they'll donate it to a woman in need. I love this bra because the straps don't slip. The label is printed on, so you don't have to deal with a label messing with your back. And what I think is almost most important is that they give back to women in need. Third Love will make, hands down, the most comfortable bra that you're ever going to own. It has lightweight memory foam cups that are super thin and mold exactly to your shape. So Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering Mom Struggling Well listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/SWP to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/SWP for 15% off today. I want to take one final break to thank a special sponsor to the show, the Hands-On Bible from Tyndale House Publishers. The Hands-On Bible is loaded with more than 150 activities that parents can do with their kids together. It's a beautiful Bible that has the addition of fun graphics. It's funny. It helps kids learn and understand and live out the important Bible truths. You guys, this Bible has science experiments. It has crafts. And it lets kids learn these biblical concepts the way they learn best by doing something about it. We have loved this Bible in our home. Tyndale was generous enough to send me several of them to try out. And when you get to experience the Bible by doing something with your hands, it makes scripture relevant and memorable and really gets in our kiddos' hearts. The Bible translation is the New Living Translation, which is easy to understand for kids and parents alike. If you are in the market for a new Bible for your kiddo this holiday season, I would really recommend this one. Visit thehandsonbible.com to learn more and use the coupon code MSW and you'll get 35% off. That is a great deal. And the coupon is valid through December 23rd. So again, to get 35% off one of these amazing Bibles, use coupon code MSW at thehandsonbible.com. Okay, so yes, I wanted to talk about some tips to finish well. I scoured the interwebs because you do not have time to do that. I don't mean you, Katie. I mean these moms. You either. You got two of everything. There's not time for this. Okay, so I found there were lots of tips. I didn't like a lot of them. I just thought they were silly. So I boiled it down to four because four is my favorite number. If I was OCD, it would be of the number four. Did you know
And
that?
You don't think you're there?
Okay. Did you know that?
That you like four?
Yeah.
No, I'm just finding out. Thank you for sharing that with me.
My whole life. If I can get M&Ms, there needs to be four. If I'm buying apples, there needs to be four.
Oh.
I always have to have four.
Well, I think you've arrived at OCD four.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so there are four. Of course there are. Number one. So I think it's important when we're finishing this year well, and this may feel weird because this has nothing to do with planning for next year.
Okay.
It's just like a wrap up.
Okay.
So it's not forward thinking really. So number one, look back over the year, just like reflect, how did it go? I think sometimes, number one, we forget to do that. I forget. But it's important to think like what exactly has happened here?
That is not something I'm not good at reflecting. I don't take time to do it. Let's move it on forward. But it was good because I got these ahead of time and it was kind of nice to have a moment to think about it.
Well, I think I know that some of the Enneagram numbers are like past oriented. I don't think I'm saying that right. But some people are in the present, like I'm assuming sevens. I think ones and twos. I just know for me, I'm more future.
Okay.
And it sounds like you are too, but some people are more past.
Okay.
So that might be easier for some of us.
Maybe those people are more into like journaling and keeping track of these types of things. I'm not really much of a journaler as a two.
Okay. I like journaling, but it's for like making things better.
Okay.
In the future.
Right.
I don't know. Okay. So what did you tell me about your year?
Well, I think this year is mainly for my husband and I both getting a good chunk of our degrees done. So I'm working on my bachelor's. He's working on his master's. And then also going back to work. What went well that I'm very surprised by is the communication between him and I to be able to do all of this with zero babysitters, zero family help. We have always made it to work. We have always made it to school. And I think if we didn't communicate, that would not happen.
No, y'all do so much out there with no one around.
Yeah. So I'm proud of that.
You should be.
How about you? What went well for you?
Well, so this is just like reflecting, not necessarily even what went well, just like,
well, how did it go?
Having a think of it.
The whole past year.
Yeah. So this is a year where, I mean, previously me and Eric both worked from home, and then he got laid off, and then I started working as a nurse. And so now neither one of us work from home on a regular basis. That's been crazy. The kids are in public school. That's been crazy. So good, though.
That all happened this year? The job change and the public school and everything?
Yeah, this year was when we switched them to a different school. So it's been so good for us. I was really afraid about going back to work. And then you just think, I'm never going to see my kids. They aren't going to know me. Or I don't know what it is. I, of course, go to the worst case scenario. But I just thought that it was going to possibly be really bad. But understanding. So then I quit. And so I bring them back home. Like, I can always change it. I can change it back. But it's been amazing. At the end of the day, my kids love seeing me. And I very largely am excited to see them. I'm tired sometimes. But
right.
It's been really good.
Right. And that's a big extreme. It's not like you were home during the days and they were at school. It was everybody was home, literally all of you all day long, to everyone being dispersed. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think the dog's like, I'm sorry, what?
Poor dog.
Mm-hmm. And then starting grad school. What? That was a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so number two, after you've looked back and just had taken some inventory of what has happened this year, the second one I think is important to do is like, what failed that you're still holding on to? There's going to be several things that didn't go well, but some of them just like get stuck. We're just stuck on them and feeling feelings about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think it's also important to, for me, the failures, because I looked and I thought, well, what failed this year? For me, it wasn't even a failure, but a perceived failure. And I think that's kind of important to differentiate. Because okay. As a one, I want everything to be perfect. And if it's not, then it's a failure. And that's not real life. So For me, letting go of working on the podcast full time felt like a failure, because I look at all these other podcasters who are my friends and I want great things for them, but they're also going to spend full time on it and I can't. And so then I think I'm failing because it doesn't look like I want it to look, or it's not growing as fast as I want it to grow, or whatever. I mean, I don't even know what I want. I know it's not realistic and it makes me think I'm failing. So that's something that I think is important to let go of. Real or perceived failures from this last year to finish well.
I love that, your difference between perceived and actual failure.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a chance to realize, oh, really, I'm not failing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm not good at this. I can't think of anything because I don't go there. Like, I just can't. I live in the positive. I can't. Yeah. I cannot think of anything that I failed at this year, and not because I think I'm so amazing, but I just can't go there. Is that weird?
But I know it's not weird. I think that's why this is important, to like sit down and like make yourself have a think about these things, because it can make you feel.
I tried. I don't want to.
You just don't want to.
I don't want to. And I don't like, I like your idea of looking at the differences between perceived and real, because it gives you not an out, but it gives you a chance to think, did I really fail or am I all right? Is it really that big of a deal? I don't know. It's not like there's a door shut there and I don't want to open it.
What's going to happen if you open it?
It'll be empty because everything's positive.
I don't like it.
Here, go to three, because I do have something in three, and three is similar to two.
Kind of. Okay, that's fine. So, because, I mean, you're not opening that door, I can tell.
I'm not. It's maybe rainbows are in there.
What do you think? There's like a monster in there?
No, only good things are in there. But I didn't fail on anything big this year.
Okay.
I'm really good at things.
I have so many things I could tell you, but that's fine. Doesn't sound like you're open. It's good. Number three, what toxic belief or habit are you still engaging in? Because we just need to cut that out. And it's good to just think of one. Don't, because I, as a perfectionist, I'm super hard on myself. I can think of 19.
Can you really? See, I can't.
Yes. This is all a one does all the time, is think about what they've done wrong, how they can be better, how they failed. Like, this is all. So, I mean, it's a dark place. Welcome.
Oh, man, I can't go there. And I'm with you. So I'm always thinking about other people. So I'd never sit down and think about myself ever. Like, this was a little fun and a little painful. And I was like, let's move on. I've got to write thank you notes to somebody. I've got to do other things for other people.
Okay. But like, what comes up for you? It's fear or it's like, what is it? What are you feeling when you think about these things? I'm curious.
My mind literally goes to, I need to do some things for the people in my family right now. It's hard for me to sit down and think about myself. It feels very weird.
So just weird. That's why I want,
like,
I know,
selfish, like, selfish or like, who cares? It's not that big of a deal.
Okay. Interesting.
So for me, toxic got a bit of a family grudge, and it's not like me, but it is toxic and I should let go of it. But I think that grudges with friends and family, I think a lot of people have those often.
Yes.
And so I think that would be good for others, thinking about others. I think it'd be good for other people to get rid of those.
Oh my gosh.
I can't get rid of mine. I've got to hold on to mine for a while.
Okay. So without being too specific, how's it been toxic and how do you think you're going to get past it?
I think that boundaries are important. I have bad feelings towards somebody and I've never had that before in a family or a friendship, like where I've been hurt, you know, so deeply that it's hard for me to get past it.
What normally happens when you've been hurt? Or do you not like allow yourself to be hurt because you're too busy thinking about?
Well, normally I just don't think anything has ever hurt me too bad. Like, I'm just so quick to forgive and I hate fighting and have feeling bad feelings for people. I guess it's just I'm in a toxic grudge that I need to give up.
It just feels too big to let go of.
Yeah, maybe it's just one of those things where I'm in the middle of it now where I'll be able to give it up later.
What I think is interesting is, because I know the details about this, your problem as such a two, I feel like your biggest hurt is for the hurt of the other people in the situation. And so even in your grudge, it's for other people.
You're right. I'm an invisible person. It's really hard to do your steps, Em.
You're not an invisible person.
Well, I mean, on purpose. You know, it's hard.
Okay.
This is a very one and two conversation specific.
It really is. Everyone else, we'll catch you next week. Just kidding. I hope this is at least a little insight into our crazy.
So you have a bunch of things that you feel like you're toxic that you're still in the middle of?
At all points, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Katie.
Okay, give me a couple. Give me the
top. No, I'll just give you one.
Okay.
And this is hard for me because we have alcoholism in our family. And so even the thought of having like wine in my house makes me feel bad. By the way, I was on a medicine where I couldn't drink and now I'm not on that medicine. You know, whatever. So I think that having wine bothers me. I feel like you and I talk about this every 7 minutes. But anyway, I think that for me, I would like to stop having it around.
Okay. Not because of any huge event or anything like that.
No.
It's just feelings about alcohol in general.
Yeah. I just think I would like to lose a little weight and it's not helping with that. I would like to go to bed early and it's not helping with that. Like, it's just not helping with anything. It's not beneficial to me. And I have so many feelings surrounding alcohol in general because of our childhood that it's just not beneficial.
Yeah. I feel like toxic is a good word for that for you.
Yeah, I think it is. Not that wine is toxic in general. I mean, your body does think it's poison, and so your liver metabolizes it fast first.
Nurse speak.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I think it's toxic for me. And something I think is important is that we've got to believe, like, freedom is possible from whatever it is that we think we can't get out of. And I think that for me, I got to be honest that somewhere I just think, yeah, but not for me for this. And that's not true. And so we need to like be clear about what are we believing, because that's a lie. So I would really like to just stop engaging in that. And Eric is so supportive, but he also loves to have a glass of wine with me. So right. He's like, he's a nine. What do you want to do? And I'm here for it. It's my favorite thing about him. But so if I tell him, like, let's just not, he'll be like, that sounds great.
Yeah. My only thought on that is that as a one, you can go black and white. And so,
100%.
And you also can't, you have a hard time, like, if you do something wrong, you know, quote unquote, that it's hard for you to forgive yourself. So there may be some gray area there.
Yeah, I think what helped for me, because I've thought through that, going out of our house and doing and having something, or if there's an event at our house, that's for me different. But like on the daily, it just is not benefiting me to engage in that for the goals that I have for my life and my, I mean, even like my mental health. I struggle with depression. Alcohol's a depressant.
Right.
It just doesn't add up.
Right. I think that's probably helpful for other people to hear too.
Honestly, yeah. And that's the thing that I don't want to talk about. I'd rather nobody even know I drink wine. Wine, what? Oh, I've heard of that stuff. I've seen about it in the movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yes, I drink wine and I'd like to cut back. Okay, so that's three. What toxic belief or habit are you still engaging in? Cut it out. And number four, note your successes this year. But this part I love, and note other people's. So I think it's important to, like, what did we knock out of the park this year? But also, I just got a gift left on my doorstep, and it was a trophy. It was a trophy for being excellent at adulting.
Aw.
And it's, I mean, something that you just, like, pass on to somebody, and that when you see them doing something. And I just thought, yeah, I loved it, and it was a nice note that just said, listen, you're doing a great job of being a mom, and I just want you to know that. I see X, Y, and Z happening, and I just thought that is so sweet. And so acknowledging other people's successes makes you feel good, and it also makes them feel good.
That's sweet. I was going to ask you, what do you suggest doing? But that's a really good idea. What else could people do? Even just bring somebody. There's a mom that I know that I've been meaning to swing by her house and just bring her a coffee and say, wow, what a year you're having.
Yes.
But I see you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be, for a two, something that would really be speak life to you. Because don't you feel like you just said, like, maybe you're not particularly seen?
Yeah.
Do you think so? Because you're so busy seeing other people?
Oh, my gosh. If somebody, that is my love language for sure.
Yeah. I would just probably send a text because I don't have a whole lot of time.
Text is great, too.
Yeah. So what successes did you have?
I am like a time management ninja. I'm so good at that. I really love to accomplish things, and I couldn't accomplish things if I didn't put everything in a little box, you know, and make time for everything. So I'm good at that.
You sure?
Yay, me.
Did you get better at that this year?
I think so. Like, I think that, like, my, test anxiety and stuff has gone down because I've just started to learn over the years to just compartmentalize things.
I didn't know you had test anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Like, especially anything having to do with, like, math. But I did, like, a statistics class, and I, like, killed it. And it's because I just had to, like, spend less time on other things, or, you know, stay up later, things like that. Just cut out all the fun, guys. That's all it takes. How about you? What did you do well this year? What did you do?
I think I've always felt, because when I became a nurse shortly after, I stopped working because Porter kept getting sick. And so I've always felt like a pretend nurse.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so going back to work this year and then becoming the supervisor, and then, like, people are coming to me and being like, is this person medically able to be at our facility? And what should we do about this? And I just feel like, oh, wow, like, maybe I'm a real nurse. It's been good.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, you always seem to be surprised when you know the right answers to things, or when people come to you and you're like, oh, yes, I do remember that from my schooling. So that's nice. You're overcoming insecurities.
Yeah. But so I was reading with my eyeballs a article this morning on, what's her name? Maggie. It's not Maggie Smith. Professor McGonagall.
That works for me.
The British lady who, yeah. And she's in Downton Abbey.
Okay.
She said that her being in Harry Potter and Downton Abbey were not fulfilling roles for her because they were so much like her actual self. Okay. She was like being herself. And so she started to feel like an imposter. Like her. She's an actor. I mean, we all are like, you're not an imposter. You're amazing.
Right.
But she felt like an imposter. And I was like, oh, maybe I am a real nurse. So
you are a real boy, Anne.
You know what I've noticed my daughter this year? And I'm going to tell her this. She is getting so pumped about being smart.
Okay.
She's coming at home and being like, I did better than like almost every single person in my class on this math test. And it's just really been so encouraging to see her be pumped about doing well at something like math, which she always told herself she wasn't good at. We are just, what we tell ourselves about ourselves is so important. Wow. Because all she's doing is telling herself a different story and it's going different.
Right. That's why I love these things that you come up with in your head. 4 tips to finish well. I just feel like there needs to be a printable about this.
I feel like you should do it.
I feel like I will.
All right. Where can people find it in the show notes?
They'll find it in the show notes.
MomStrugglingWell.com. Okay. Yay. Well, I love that you've signed yourself up for that.
Okay.
What a two of you. Okay. So listen, I think taking a moment and doing all those things is important, but I also wanted to share with you something that I'm really loving Dr. Carolyn Leaf.
Okay.
I really would like to interview her.
All right.
She is a neuroscientist who just studies the brain and mind connection. And I believe that the mind being synonymous with like the soul, I think. Anyway, she has so many books and they're really, really good. The one I'm reading right now is called Switch on Your Brain. It's talking about thinking and how you can detox your brain. Anyway, but so she says there's 3 questions that she asks herself every day to get herself out of the like limbic brain, the lower brain, kind of the animal fight, flight. You know, you can't think higher thoughts if you're in like your brainstem. But to get to the higher brain that can actually reason and think through things, then these are some questions that she does daily. And I've been in my morning quiet times answering these 3 questions just to kind of think better differently. So the first question is, what can I let go of today? The second question is, what will I focus on today? And then the third one is, what will I be grateful for today? Those have been really great questions for me to ask on a daily basis. And I think that finishing well is also just, you can do it in small increments every day by doing the day as well as you can.
Yes. One of the girls said that in the her submission is that she tries to do it every day.
That's good. That's good. So anyway, letting go of focusing on and being grateful for. I've been doing that every day and I love it.
I like it. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. So, okay. I wanted to encourage us. We are almost out of time. The other day at work was so hard. Oh my gosh. We had a very difficult person that just made the day was just incredibly difficult. And at the end of the day, I had read this. Actually, it was before I went into work. I read this and it gave me good perspective throughout the day when I had a minute to actually think about it because it was a disaster. But at 1 Peter 4 talks about our inheritance. And I just wanted to read a little bit. So as Christ followers, we're not home. And it's hard to remember that because, I mean, this is all we've ever known. This is all we can see. So the fact that like there's the unseen world is very, very real. In fact, arguably more real because it's not passing away and all this is. So it's very confusing. That's why I want a tent tattoo, even though Eric thinks that's ridiculous. But just to remind, like, this isn't home. And so anyhow, and not a circus tent. And that was his follow-up question, but no. Anyway. Okay, so our inheritance that we have, it was bought not with, it says gold and silver and things that pass away, but with, I mean, literally Jesus's blood. And that feels, I mean, kind of gross and kind of not like something that it's in our normal context of things that we are like, oh yeah, that was paid for with blood. Regular. It's not regular.
Right.
But it's definitely dramatic, and it definitely shows the value of something by what you are willing to pay for it. And so God is willing to pay extreme amount, everything, the most precious thing for us. But anyway, the inheritance, what we get as daughters of the King is eternal life, but it's imperishable. What can we say? What can we know of here that's imperishable? Like, not a blessed thing is truly imperishable. Undefiled, like not even a little bit messed up, like 0% messed up. It won't fade at all. Like, we can't even put pictures on the wall. Those fade. Everything fades. But it's also reserved for us. I think it reminds me of Seinfeld and how they took the car reservation for the car rental, but they didn't hold the reservation. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
So funny. You know how to take the reservation. You just don't know how to hold the reservation. Anyhow, and so it's reserved for us, and it's going to be held. We don't have to worry that there was like some mix-up and it wasn't held for us, or it was held for the wrong person or whatever. It also says in 1 Peter 4 that it's protected by the power of God, which I would think means it's very protected. So anyway, I wanted to read just this little bit. So knowing all that, knowing we have an inheritance, that it was incredibly costly to purchase, but that it's very, very secure in a way that none of us even understand. It is more secure than we can even comprehend, because everything in this world is so insecure. So I want us to think of finishing well through the context of, regardless of how the rest of this year goes, this is what we currently have. It's 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And then moving on to 8, though you haven't seen him, you love him. And though you don't see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I just think we can literally just let all of our concerns go, and everything that's happened and concerns we have about the future, we can let it go, because we are like legit held, and our future is certain. It's just held, and we're good. I just love that.
I love it. I'm lucky to have you. Break all this down for me. It's lovely.
It's just encouraging. It helps me not beat myself up or worry or whatever. All the things I like to do to myself on the regular.
Right.
We can finish well, because our end is already secure. We're good. So ladies, I hope that you have a great week, and send us your problems so me and Rebecca can solve it. And next week, we are going to hear from Sarah May. She has a really craptastic story of her childhood, of a disaster. And it's just such an encouraging conversation.
Yeah, really good episode.
Yes. And then, we'll talk with Rebecca, solve your problems. And then December 30th, the day before I turn 40. Oh my gosh, what's that about? We're going to hear from Ashley Hales, and that is also going to be really fun. So anyway, that's all. Y'all have a great week. I'm struggling well.
Bye.
Thanks to all the listeners, we're the Struggling Sisters.